In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. This is the Sunday after the exaltation of the Holy Cross. A very important feast for us, because if we don't live the way of the cross, we can't be saved. The readings today about this Sunday are all about the cross and something very, very wonderful that you must learn and understand if you're going to live a triumphant life. Now, if you're going to live just a regular life, you don't need to know this stuff. If you're going to just still struggle with everything in your life, you don't need to know this stuff. But if you want to have a triumphant life, then this is what you need to know. Now, there are commands in here about denying ourselves, taking up our cross, losing our life so that we can save it. Those are all very important commands that we must understand. But St. Paul in Galatians gives us a way to live. You know, at the beginning of the gospel, there was the preaching that the kingdom of heaven is within you. Nobody understood what that meant. They were under the thumb of Rome. Things were hard. They were looking for a Messiah. They didn't understand what it meant. Then their Messiah, their supposed Messiah, went and got himself killed. They didn't understand what the kingdom of heaven is within you means. St. Paul gives us another way of stating this today in the context of the cross. And that is, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Now remember, there's all kinds of commandments in these readings too. We got to follow these commandments. Just before that, St. Paul had said that if we seek to be justified by Christ, we're found to be sinners. Is Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. So if we are to be Christians, we are to live according to the gospel, according to the commandments. This is a given. But then St. Paul tells us why we can do this. Now, we all have troubles in our lives. Some of us have more troubles than others. And some of us just think we have more troubles than others. The way we approach life is often very pedestrian, very mediocre. But if Christ lives in us, how can we approach life in a pedestrian way? If Christ lives within us, then we will do as he wills. It's no longer our will, but his will. This is not just a psychological trick. This is the way that the saints lived. And this is why we have our troubles. This is why we are a society beset with anxiety and with anger and with jealousy and all the other things that we participate in as fully as the rest of the world. Because we don't understand and accept that as Christians we are crucified to the world and its lusts. We are crucified with Christ. And because of this crucifixion, there are things that are dead that were formerly alive in us. Anger, jealousy, thinking of ourselves, lust. All those things should be dead. And what should be alive is the things that are in Christ. Humility, love, compassion. To be anointed with the Holy Spirit and to have knowledge of all things. So things died and things became alive with Christ being on the cross. And if we live according to this fundamental dogma of our faith that Christ lives within us, then we shouldn't be so mediocre in the way we live. I was thinking of a couple examples just as I was thinking of this, what to talk about today. And I've read about this priest monk named Ephrem. And he died some time ago. And he was a remarkable man, full of faith, lived on the holy mountain for an incredibly long time, 60 years or something. Did amazing things. And he had developed a skin condition, maybe eczema or something, but there was a whole lot of blisters all over his body. So that it was not just uncomfortable, but he was really ailing. And his spiritual father ordered him to come off the mountain to go to a doctor. He obeyed. He said he would, but he wasn't supposed to leave until the next day. And he didn't want to leave, not at all. So he prayed the entire night, begging the Lord, even sort of complaining to him, said, "You've put me on this mountain for all these years and now you're going to take me off?" In the morning, his wounds were not completely healed, but all the blisters had popped and his skin was dry. And he was better within a few days. So his spiritual father didn't make him leave. That's having Christ live within you. Now that's a real example. Here's a fictional example. But it's still absolutely true. Although it's fiction, it is a parable for what really happens when saints pray. I think most of you have seen the movie The Island. If you haven't, you should see it. It's like reading the Fathers, like watching the Fathers. It's truly amazing. And this, the protagonist, the sort of hero in the story, he's like a fool for Christ. He's difficult to get along with, and he prays all the time, and he's deeply humble. And someone brings, a mother brings a boy who is crippled to his little hovel. He actually lived where the coal was shoveled into the furnace. And he said he would pray and would heal him. So he goes to his icon and he prays with absolute certainty, requiring the Lord to heal the boy. Do you have prayer like that? We should have prayer like that. We can demand of the Lord. Elias said, "Don't let it rain." And it didn't rain. We should have that kind of prayer. That is when Christ lives within us. We're not just these people bumbling around, but we feel Christ in every breath we take. This is only possible if you follow the commands now. Now, in the world, people like the good stuff, but they don't want to do anything to get to it. Christianity has been dumbed down to a few silly little sayings. But true Christianity is that we take up our cross because we are not living anymore. Christ is living within us. If Christ is living within us, he can tell us what to do. And so we do it without reservation. Some of you have read the book Ordinary or Everyday Saints. There's a bishop in this book who decided that his purpose or what he should do to obey the Lord was whatever anybody asked him to do, he would do it. No matter how crazy the request was, he would do it. I believe he was in Moscow. He'd be going all over Moscow. Razanko, right. Basil, Bishop Basil. And he would go on transportation, you know, a public transportation for 4 hours to go bless someone's home because the person had asked him. He felt he had no will. It was Christ's will within him. And if Christ said do it, he did it with a smile. How many of us are like this? This is living with Christ in us. We should strive for this. Every single one of us, when we go to confession, should be saying, we don't love God, and we're selfish. Which one of us can say we love God fully? Which one of us can say that we are never selfish? That we always think only of others? Not of our own comfort, not of our own ego, not of our own gratification, but only of others. 100% of the time. That is what having Christ live within us does. Now, that might not sound very fun to you, because we look at it with a worldly way. I remember when I was just barely Orthodox and young and stupid, and I've outgrown one of those since then. And I wondered, why be humble? Because you wouldn't even enjoy it. Because if you're humble, you wouldn't know you're humble. It's kind of this silly little sophistry that went on in my head until I realized how stupid it was. If we live according to Christ, there's suffering, but the suffering brings joy to the soul, contentment in the soul, that you can't get from the enjoyment of the world. But you can only understand that if you live it. Until then, it looks pretty formidable to give up your will completely to Christ. But that should be our goal, to give up our will completely to Christ, to live with Christ living in us, not ourselves, Christ living in us, because we have been crucified, and that part of us that was already dead is now fully dead. It was alive, but it was dead. The things we did were things that a person does as a living human being, but they are the things of death. They are the life of death. And the crucifixion made it possible for us to cast all those things off and to live only with the things of life. You know, I've told you before about the remembrance of death. Read about this many times in monastic literature, and you should all be reading monastic literature. The newer the book, the glossier the cover, the more endorsements on the front, you should put that book aside and read the Fathers. And the remembrance of death is exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. To know that we are crucified with Christ and we no longer live, but Christ lives within us. And therefore, we go through life seeing things and saying, well, that's dead. I don't want that. That's life. I want that. That's hard, but it's life. I want that. That even brings suffering, but it's life. I only want that. Because Christ within me wants that. And I have his hunger to want what is alive and to hate what is dead. That's the remembrance of death. And it comes from taking up your cross, not being so lazy, getting off your duff, and being a Christian. And humbling yourself. And praying more than just your prayer before your meal. I can't tell you the number of times I've said it. And if someone has said this to me, I'm not thinking of you, honestly. Do you pray? Yes, I pray every day. Well, when do you pray? I always pray before the meal. That's it? Pretty much. That's not giving ourselves to Christ. That's not having Christ live within us. Having Christ live within us is to see what is alive and what is dead, because he sees, his eyes are seeing with our eyes. So our eyes take in his knowledge, and we know what's right and what's wrong. God bless you to take up your cross, to follow all these commands. None of them are optional. If you want optional commands, you're going to have to go down the street to where they serve coffee in church. But there are no optional commands in Christianity. But the following of these commands is not something that's just imposed from outside of you. The following of these commands is because Christ lives in you. And you develop his desire for all things. May God make it so for us poor sinners, that we live as ones who have been crucified with Christ, so that we are dead, but Christ lives in us.